Welcome to Why Not Me, The World podcast, hosted by Tony Mantor. Broadcasting from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Join us as our guests tell us their stories. Some will make you laugh, some will make you cry. Real life people who will inspire and show that you are not alone in this world. Hopefully, you gain more awareness, acceptance, and a better understanding for autism around the world. Hi, I'm Tony Mantor. Welcome to Why Not Me the World. Today's guest is Madison Sasser. She's an author, a blogger, and today she's here to share her story of being recently diagnosed autistic. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I understand you was recently diagnosed autistic. What age was that?
So I was diagnosed probably about 23.
Okay, so age 23, you get diagnosed autistic. What were some of the events that led you to go to get a diagnosis?
Yeah, so I was always planning on going to law school. That was always my goal.
Okay.
In school, I was diagnosed with ADHD when I was about 10 or about 12.
All right.
So it was something that I always knew I had. And when I was diagnosed, the professional that diagnosed me told me not to disclose it, not to ask for the extra time that I was entitled to on exams.
Right.
And so I always had this feeling of like knowing that I was smart.
Right.
And I like my friends were all the top 10 people in the class. And yet I was performing so much lower than them, despite knowing that I was just as smart as them.
Right.
So it was kind of this like feeling that I had, like I was an imposter.
Right.
And then when I got into college, like all my friends were getting into like their top choices. I got waitlisted and eventually got in off the waitlist. So, and I remember I was sitting in my therapist's office in college and I was so confused. And I'm like, I don't even need to be here. And she's like, okay, you got into a school with a 40% like acceptance rate. And at the time I learned to overcompensate. So I worked a lot in restaurants and I did internships with different law firms to try to make up for the test scores that I knew I could make.
Right.
So I was always trying to find ways to boost my resume and make myself more personable, make better connections so that they wouldn't look at my test scores.
Okay.
And eventually I started working in law firms. And after I graduated during the pandemic, I got a job offer at this really big law firm. Or it wasn't a big law firm, but it was a very prestigious law firm.
Okay.
And after 8 months, I was eventually fired for inexperience. And I ran into some different things at the law firm that I felt like I was underperforming, but I also felt like I was being misunderstood and I didn't understand why.
Right.
So I started going to therapy and I started like researching like learning disorders. And then I found like nonverbal learning disorder, which became like a form of autism. And then I saw about how many women were misdiagnosed.
Right.
And the more that like I started researching these women and I started reading their accounts of what their lives were like, I'm like, oh, that's me.
Okay.
So that's when I decided to get diagnosed.
So once you got diagnosed and you realized that you are autistic, did you go through any emotions? What went through your mind at that point? Was there a sense of relief because now you know what's going on? Or was there a sense of fear because what's going to happen?
For me, it was a big sense of relief, but there was also a lot of grief.
Okay.
It was this grief of like, I wish this would have been recognized sooner.
Right.
And it was also this like grief and this like conflicting emotion of like, I went through a government agency and it took about a year for me to get diagnosed.
Okay.
But because I couldn't find anyone who diagnosed adults, I couldn't find anyone that had availability because COVID, everyone was kind of like over resourced or they didn't have the capacity.
Right.
And it's when you know something is wrong. And when you know something is wrong, everyone tells you to ask for help. It's your responsibility to advocate for yourself.
Right.
So I was doing that exactly like I was supposed to. And then I was kind of met with resistance. I was met with a lack of resources. And I don't think it should take anyone a year to get diagnosed.
Right.
Like, I don't think that because that's a year that you are waiting, that you're kind of taking short-term jobs to see what happens. Like, there's so many things that you miss because you're waiting for a year.
Absolutely.
It was just, and like, there was also like when I was at the law firm and I was, since I do have ADHD and I had never really been on ADHD meds, I went to get ADHD meds, and then there was a shortage where I would have to go to 3 different pharmacies, and then they couldn't tell you if they had it.
Wow.
Because it was kind of like a safety concern. So you're like asking for help and you're using the resources that you're supposed to use, and then they're insufficient. And I found that really frustrating.
Yeah, that's a common thread that I hear, is that it's difficult to get diagnosed, but it's more difficult once you graduate and become an adult to get diagnosed. So in that period of time that while you was waiting to get diagnosed, you had all these things going through your mind. How did you cope?
Yeah, so I kind of coped through writing and through like sharing my experiences. And so I blog on Medium, and so I would use my Medium blog, and then I would share it to my Twitter account. And it was kind of like, it wasn't just about autism. It was about kind of like my entire life I was reevaluating.
Sure.
Because like, and when I was going to law school, I had this like idea of myself. I was a very type A person. I was very on it. I was very like motivated. Like I was someone who I thought got things done, who was very ambitious. And when I kind of lost that, I had to find a way to get back that sense of myself.
Sure.
And blogging was a big way that I was able to do that, because like it was a very external way of looking and saying, look, people read my writing, or like, look, someone commented on it, or like, Right. Look at my following. Like, I wouldn't have this if I was a bad writer. I wouldn't have this if I was a person with no motivation.
Right.
So I kind of had to try to find ways to redefine discipline and determination. I had to kind of find a way to prove that I could still be that.
Sure. One common thread that I heard from a lot of people that are autistic, whether it be young kids or adults, is that they tend to get very focused on what they want to do. Did you find yourself focusing and really being driven that way? Did that create any issues for you to focus on what you wanted to do?
Yeah. So, and that's kind of like what, like writing has always been like a special interest for me. It's always been something that I've been drawn to.
Okay.
And a lot of like autistic people thrive by making their special interest a career.
Right.
And so, and obviously like when you're a writer, you kind of feel a little delusional, because you're like, it's a really hard to get paid. And even if you're a good writer and you're like, fine, you're getting rejection after rejection after rejection. A logical person would say, maybe don't make this a career.
Right.
And that's kind of why I decided that I would go to law school, because I knew a lot of good writers were also very good lawyers. And I knew like lawyers were like a safe income career that people would respect.
Right, sure.
Then when I was examining it, and I was realizing that I'd go $150,000 in debt, and then I'd have to apply to take a bar exam. And there were so many different barriers to making money, even after you had all this debt.
Yes, right.
And the starting salary for a lot of lawyers is like $50,000.
Right.
So I was like looking at all of that, and I'm like, that logically doesn't make sense.
Sure.
So I started looking into writing, and I'm like, well, if I have a blog that makes like, say, $50 a month, and then I have a podcast, and say I eventually launch a podcast that like makes $50 a month, and if you diversify your income between book sales, maybe a teaching position, and all of these different revenues, you eventually build something profitable that is sustainable, because if one source of your income fails, you focus on your others.
Right, right. That's a good plan.
So I don't know, I guess like focusing on writing and like trying to make it work in a way that was logical for me helped. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So it's been a year since you've been diagnosed.
Yes.
What do you see that has changed in that year? What's the difference between last year and now?
I think people are a little bit more understanding, but I also think that I'm better at articulating and explaining it. Because once you have like a label and you're like, oh, this is why I do this.
Right.
You can kind of explain that to other people. And I actually wrote a blog about like how I feel about my diagnosis a year later.
Okay.
Reason and the way I feel about it is that I went to so many therapists trying to ask them to tell me what was wrong with me. Most people aren't self-aware enough to do that. And they go through life making other people miserable because they can't address their own issues.
Right.
So like having the self-awareness to do that for one says a lot about me.
Absolutely.
And the fact that so many people go through life and don't do that is actually very concerning. And I framed it in a way that's like, how I feel about a year later is we all have things that we struggle with.
Right.
And I have more barriers because of the way autism is perceived.
Right.
So it's like, how do I eliminate some of those barriers and also like find a way to communicate and normalize autism as something that people are familiar with?
What was your mindset? Did you see yourself getting depressed at all? Because I know, especially in females, it's well known that later diagnosis, when it comes to females, they can go through so many challenges and get depressed. Did you go through any of those situations at all?
Yeah. So I struggled with depression and I still do. And it was actually like, in my like psychiatrist notes, they noticed that like my depression was actually causing more issues than my autism was.
Okay.
And a part of that is it's not how I feel about myself. It's about how other people feel about me and my autism. And you're constantly dealing with that.
Sure.
Whereas like my family will say like, can she stop saying autism? And it's like, okay, but that's the correct diagnosis. Like people haven't really used the term Asperger's in 10 years.
Right.
And most people don't know that. And they just hear autism and they're like, oh, well, you're saying you can't do anything and you can, you're high functioning. And it should be a compliment, but because they don't know about autism and they don't know what to say, they don't realize that they're saying all the wrong things. And it's so frustrating because I do still see myself as achieving. I do still see myself as motivated, as capable. But people hear autism and they assume that I have this view of myself that I don't.
Right.
And so like you're trying to build ways to support yourself and to support the way that you work. And, you know, maybe like a 40-hour work week, maybe that's not the best for me. Or like maybe working from home is easier and you're trying to make all of these changes that make your life better. And people see these changes and they're like, oh, well, maybe you're crazy or maybe you're just this. And I find like fighting through the stigma of what people think autism means is more exhausting than actually having it.
Yeah. I was talking with a lady just yesterday that has an autistic son. That was the one thing that she brought up is that people just don't get it. And my slogan for my podcast is autism awareness, acceptance, and understanding. And the reason why I put in understanding is because I felt that was one word that they've left out because people can be aware of it. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's something. Usually I write about it and I it's been very helpful because I have a lot of people in my life that aren't autistic. So they kind of say what they observe about my autism from their lens. So like, I'm trying to like meet people where they are and what they understand about autism. Because when I was diagnosed, I really didn't know anything about autism and I had a perception of it that was wrong. So it's kind of about finding ways to communicate that in a way that other people understand.
Yes.
And in the autistic community, there's a lot of pushback about using like labels like high functioning or, you know, like autistic and different things like that. And like, as someone who people don't see as autistic unless I tell them I am autistic,
right.
I want to make room for the people who experience more symptoms or who people look at and immediately, oh, they're autistic. Like, I work in a restaurant and a lot of people find restaurants overstimulating even if they aren't autistic. So it's a place with like a lot of triggers. And we have this one customer that comes in, he orders the same thing every time. And he's very visibly autistic. Like people kind of know that he has it and it's not something that he can hide.
Right.
And the people like the other service, they make fun of him. They're like, oh, the autistic guy's back again. And it's like, okay. And I like told him, I'm like, can we like say something about him that's not about his autism? Like, can we talk about his shirt color or can we identify something about him that's not that he's autistic?
Right.
And I know that those people are going to have a very different experience of autism than I am. And so it's weird because I want to make room for their experiences and their perception. But I also don't want to say that stigmatize them further.
Right.
And they're like, and that's what a lot of people feel about functioning labels, is it stigmatizes us further.
Right.
My experience of autism is going to be different than his experience of autism. And I want to make room for that.
Exactly. When you look at yourself and you kind of self-diagnose or self-evaluate in what you perceive of yourself, how have you found that that's different as your friend's perception of you? Does any of that meet together where the perception of reality is the same? Or do they have different outlooks than you do when it comes to yourself? How does all that line up?
Well, I think a lot of it lines up with society and what we expect people to be as a functioning member of society. And I put that in air quotes.
Okay.
And a lot of it comes back to your idea of work or what it means to be an adult. Like, is having a job where you work 40 hours, you commute an hour, you do whatever your boss says and you don't complain, and then you go home and then you go to the gym. Like, is that your idea of being an adult?
Right.
And like, part of being a writer is knowing that your career is going to look very non-traditional.
Right.
You know, I like serving in a restaurant because I can come home and not think about it. I work for maybe 4 or 5 hours. I make the same amount of money somebody who has been working 8 hours would have made. And then I come home and I write until 3 a.m. And that's my life.
Okay.
And for me, that works.
Okay.
But my other people see somebody going to bed at 3 a.m. writing all night. They're like, is that healthy? Like,
right.
You should have a schedule that functions like everyone else. But it's also something that when you're someone who works nights and you work weekends, and it's kind of not great to say that, oh, because you work these jobs that other people don't want to work, you're not a functioning member of society.
Right.
Because we all do things at this time. So those are some of the biggest like criticisms that I face of like, sure, the way that I function or the way that my schedule looks. Like, it may not work for someone else, but it works for me. And one of my biggest priorities right now is focusing on my writing and trying to build a writing brand that eventually leads to a book deal or a blog that brings in consistent money.
Okay.
One of the problems of being a writer is you have to have resources to create things from the ground up. You have to be able to pay your rent and write without worrying about your rent being paid.
Sure.
If you're producing a podcast, you have to be able to edit sound and you have to be able to book guests. And like, there are a lot of things that would take time, money, and resources that you don't have.
Right.
So I've kind of had to be very strategic about where can I get my time and my resources to go, like kind of what can I do with the least?
Sure.
And I did eventually apply to grad school. I haven't found out if I've been accepted yet.
Okay.
But if I were to be accepted, then it would pay for my housing and it would pay for my master's. So like it would be a consistent income that would allow me to focus on writing and also build a career as a teacher as like a second form of income.
Okay.
So I don't know, you have to get really creative and you have to be able to say, you know what, I don't care how this looks, I care how this feels. And I care about my goal and how it builds my future, not what somebody else wants and see as success.
So with what you're doing now, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? What's your short-term goals? What's your long-term goals?
So my short-term like goal is I want to write a novel and get it traditionally published.
Okay.
Or maybe build enough following that I can self-publish and be successful and have a consistent readership.
Okay.
So right now I'm working on a manuscript. It can take time, especially if you're a new writer trying to figure out. And I don't want to say I'm a new writer, but I'm a young writer. And it takes a lot of time to figure out what works for you in your writing process.
Right.
So I want to finish a manuscript and I want to find an agent. And those are kind of my two big short-term goals.
Okay.
And like my long-term goal is I want to be a writer that has multiple books. I eventually want to launch a podcast. Like I would love to adapt some of my novels into screenplays and like very fascinated with the production of media and how books can go to podcasts, can go to audiobooks, can go to screenplays and how each different format
right. Is
a different way of telling a story, but it's still the story that drives each format.
And this blog, so is that telling your story or do you put other things in it that encompasses the world, so to speak, or your part of the world?
Yeah, so it is kind of my part of the world. I started it when I was working at the law firm and I was very frustrated about how young people were being treated in the workforce. And I was reading all of these blogs about how Gen Z was ruining the workforce. And I thought that was really funny because everyone I know has 3 jobs and they still can't pay their rent.
Right.
So I kind of felt like people weren't representing our concerns and they weren't giving us opportunities to succeed. So I started the blog for that reason. And it kind of evolved into like my autism diagnosis and my examination of what success would mean, how work norms kind of play into that.
Right.
I'm kind of in a stage right now where I'm like reexamining my brand and trying to decide how I want to move forward. Because when you choose to write under your own name and not a pen name, it can impact your career prospects. It can impact your family and your friends.
Right.
And like if I would have known what I know now, I might have chosen, but I probably wouldn't have because I like standing by my work. So I'm trying to decide how I want to move forward as far as like the articles that I want to produce. And as much as I like to talk about autism and I like to normalize it, there are a lot of other things that make up my identity that aren't my autism. So like, I don't want to be known as the autistic writer.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
So I'm trying to decide how do I want to address, and when you're like a writer and you're also writing about your romantic life or you're writing about your job life, and all of those things are going to impact your real life. So I'm trying to find how, and so I recently had a conversation with a friend where I wrote this like feminist blog about like how hard dating is. And I realized that it's a writer that, it's a blog that like writers I admire with pen names would have published. But because I'm not using a pen name, I don't feel comfortable putting that much out of myself into the world.
Sure.
And letting people judge those ideas.
Right.
So I decided to maybe repurpose it for a novel where I have a character that's a blogger and it's the blog that she would have written. So it kind of gives me some distance. So I'm trying to decide, you know, like what are articles that like I'm okay like standing by and saying this is what I believe, and also articles that I'm okay with attributing to characters that are a little more controversial.
Sure. Have you found a good balance within the autistic world, the real world, and your blog and writing world to where you can get out there, put some of your time to each one that needs to be given the time? And then at the end of the day, you sit back and have that inner peace to where, yeah, this is what I want to do.
I wouldn't say that I've found it, but I've found steps towards achieving it.
Okay.
So I recently like moved back to my rural hometown so I could kind of save a little bit of money and like put more money into my writing and into my time into my writing, so I'm not so worried about my finances.
Right.
And so I'm on a path to achieving that, where in a couple, 2-3 months, I'll be like comfortable financially where I don't feel guilty for spending that time.
Okay.
And I'm also like starting to rethink like what kind of blogs do I want to post and what kind of blogs do I not.
Right.
And so I'm writing some blogs about like working in the restaurant industry and what I've learned about my mental health through the restaurant industry. Sure. And different things that, and that's kind of why my writing became so popular, is because so many people feel like they're overburdened and like there's so many demands that they can't meet through their job, through their finances. And so we're all kind of asking the same question of like, why is it like this? Why is it this hard?
Right.
So finding blogs that strike that professional tone and that professional examination, but also just aren't quite as personal as putting myself out there. Because sometimes like when you're having a really bad mental health day and you write about it, everyone's like, are you okay? Like, are you good?
Right.
And I want to kind of eliminate some of that where I don't look unstable.
How do you feel? I mean, you say unstable. Do you feel unstable much, or is this just something like anybody else? You just had a bad day?
I would say it's just like someone else where you have a bad day, but because of like the way that your emotions go, like when you have like childhood trauma or when you have like a grief that like you're just never going to get over it, sometimes things trigger it in ways where you're like, you always go back to that place. And like, it's kind of having to recognize that that place isn't real. And those feelings, like while they're real feelings, they're not an accurate perception of reality. But I've had to kind of come and realize that feelings kind of come in waves, and you kind of have to like just sit there and kind of let them do their own thing and just kind of find ways to cope where you're okay with just sitting in them until they pass.
Sure, that makes sense. Now let's expand on your blog a little bit. What led you to start it?
Yeah, so when I started blogging, I was just fired from my job at the law firm. And I kind of started just tweeting out like what was going on in my life because I didn't feel like I had anyone I could talk to. And that's like, and the tweets that were just really raw and vulnerable. Like I just had this like awful fight with my roommate where the tweets that really started to get attraction and to get attention, or to get attention, which ultimately led to building a following of now almost 16,000 followers that I built over 2 years. And so it was just this experience of like sharing my life with people and getting that support that was really helpful to me, but also very validating because it reminded me that I was still this version of myself that I thought I was.
Okay. Do you have a community of autistic people that have reached out to you because you're writing things that they can relate to? And has that created some friendships or good communication?
It has. For some reason, Medium, the site that I blog on, has a lot of autistic bloggers. So a lot of time we read each other's writing and we like kind of comment and support each other that way. And obviously my Twitter has kind of reached out to a lot of autistic people who have reached out to me. And there's some people that aren't comfortable letting people know that they're autistic.
Right.
And they let me know that, you know, like the fact that I am comfortable doing that gives them the courage to kind of take on their everyday life, which is always really good to hear.
Well, the thing is, you're writing about your life. You're writing about things that might happen to you, your thought process. All that together creates you. by putting that out there, you're putting it out there so other people can relate to it. And just by that, you might be helping others without knowing you're helping others. And then if you get response back, it helps you evolve to a higher level as well. So you're helping others, but you're helping yourself, because every day that you get up and write something or do something and you look at things a certain way, and then somebody might say something, you change your mind on it, you're continually evolving to something that's hopefully better.
Yeah. And I've had that situation a lot of times where there's people who have responded in a way that was really hurtful or that just didn't understand. And it is very isolating. And that's kind of like the biggest thing that I struggle with, is I'm still the same person I was before I was diagnosed. But now that I am diagnosed, people see that. And at one point, like someone had said, you know, like, sometimes I wish you would write less about your autism, because I don't want them to see your autism. I want them to see you. But like, I am still me. And it's something that you just like want to scream at people.
Yeah. Did you, once you got your writing out there in your blogs and your tweets and everything, did you start getting people that kind of followed you, that was kind of going the same path as you were, and they were feeling your same struggles?
Yeah, I did. And that's kind of why I realized I was hitting on so many different niches. Because obviously I was working in a restaurant at the time, and it was during COVID where we were really examining employment and why we work and what our work should expect from us, what we should expect from work. So, and everyone was feeling burnt out and exhausted. And I realized that I hit so many different niches without even meaning to. Like, it was almost like unintentional, but I kind of wish it was intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I think you're doing good. You know, I mean, considering what you have to take and evolve to, what you want to evolve to, and considering what you have to put up with to get where you want to be, and then the misinformation that people have about what autism is, you know, it's a challenge every day for you, but you seem to be handling it very well.
Yeah, it's actually, I had a conversation with my therapist about it, and she kind of put it in the sense of, you've just got to focus on eliminating obstacles. So just take one obstacle, and maybe if it's finance, focus 1 week on like getting your finances better.
Right.
And then if it's content, maybe it's sit down, plan out better content, and write better content.
Right.
But kind of like just taking it one day at a time, one step at a time, and just focusing on, okay, what can I do today?
Right. Right. So is that what you do? It's kind of like baby steps. Do you have like a list of things? Okay, I want to work on this today, or I want to work on this tomorrow. Or do you have a list, and then you might have it planned out that, oh, I'm going to do this today, but then all of a sudden you wake up, you're feeling different, and you decide, oh, I think I'm going to do number 5 today instead of number 2. Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, sometimes I write things down. Sometimes it's more of a mental list. And like the thing about working in the service industry is like sometimes you work 5 days straight. Sometimes you have like 4 days off in a row. Binge working, like how do I like, I'm going to block this whole week off where I'm just picking up shit. And then I'm going to crash the next week and pay this bill off that I really needed to pay.
Right.
Some weeks where it's like, okay, I know that I want to publish an article this week. So like, what can I repurpose? And then you write and you're like, this really isn't happening. And you kind of have to give yourself grace, because sometimes things come up or like things don't always go the way you want them to.
Right.
So like, you kind of have to take advantage of what you have when you have it.
Right.
And like when you're writing and you get into a flow state and you can write like maybe 3 articles in one go, you kind of just have to write the 3 articles in one go and do it.
Absolutely. I get that. So do you have a feeling of fulfillment, or is it you still have some hole there that you need to kind of fill?
Say that I have a sense of fulfillment, but I also do feel like it's a hole, because I want to really be taken seriously as a professional and as a writer and as a person. I wrote this blog because the man who fired me ended up as a restaurant guest at a table I was serving about a month ago. And I'm like, he was looking at me and he's like, oh, she's just some angry kid with a blog. Like, nobody cares what she thinks. And I'm talking to my therapist about it. And I'm like, I'm looking for agents. I'm looking for this. But like, he'd be right if he were to say that about me. Like, I'm just an angry kid with a blog. And my therapist was like, okay, so own it. You're an angry kid with a blog and you have 15,000 followers and you're just getting started. So, and that's kind of what I have to remind myself, is that writing and publishing is a long game. And careers are a long struggle. So where I am today is building on where I'm going to be 10 years from now. And you just have to build the little steps and take fulfillment in that.
That's so correct. There are so many musicians that I've worked with that have been overnight successes in about 20 years. So you're spot on there. So if someone wants to follow you and check out your blogs and your Twitter, how do they find you?
Yeah, so my blog is on medium.com. It's under my name, Madison Sasser. I'm most active on Twitter. My Twitter handle is like MADIII3I03. It was something I made in high school that now I'm running with because I have too many followers to fix it. I'm also on Threads as Madison Sasser and on Instagram as Madison Sasser. So.
All right, good. Now, you covered a lot of things. Is there anything that you'd like to leave the people that are listening to your story with? Something that you just want to tell them? You know, if you were standing in front of 100 people right now, what would you want to put across to them?
I think the biggest thing about autism is obviously understanding. And it's also a lack of resources. And I think people are sitting there and you're seeing autistic people and you're seeing autistic people struggle. And you're like, well, I'm struggling with this too. Like, what? And I think like we're all struggling and we all deserve help. And we all deserve to address our problems so that we're not continually projecting them onto other people. So like, I think it's mostly just a self-responsibility of knowing that you deserve help and knowing that you can ask for help and being able to access that help. Like, I think those are the most important things that obviously we need to do, but we also need to fix so that it's easier to do.
Yeah, that's great. That's well put. Well put. Well, again, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to our show today. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. If you know anyone that would like to tell us their story, send them to tonymantor.com, contact, then they can give us their information so one day they may be a guest on our show. One more thing we ask, tell everyone, everywhere, about Why Not Me, the World. The conversations we're having, and the inspiration our guests give to everyone, everywhere, that you are not alone in this world.